Welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi.
And I'm Lisa.
Today we're in one of the heaviest aftermath moments in the Bible, Genesis 19, where Abraham looks out and sees smoke rising like a furnace from Sodom and Gomorrah.
That image really sticks with you. It's not subtle, it's not poetic, it's just reality.
And we're going to talk about judgment, mercy, and consequences. Not as like kind of some type of abstract theological principles, but the actual storyline of the text. And honestly, as the storyline of maybe our lives.
Really? Interesting. I mean, it's true that you can't really read this section of Genesis and think, oh, you know, sin is cute or nothing to concern ourselves with.
Exactly. You read Genesis 19 and pretend like sin doesn't matter, but you also can't pretend that God doesn't save.
Yeah. I suppose we should give a little content note. The end of our chapter for today includes this dark, super dark, messed up family situation. And we're going to handle it carefully without being graphic, but we're also not going to sanitize the Bible.
Because that's the point. The Bible isn't sanitized. It's not meant to shock us. But the point is God tells us the truth about what sin and consequences do in the world in which we live.
Yeah, so I suppose before we hit 3 points, we can maybe slow ourselves down and locate ourselves. And if you just turned on our podcast or listened to Good News You Can Use, here's what's happening in the story and why judgment is on the table.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a long road. Step one, Lot drifts in Genesis 13, and he separates from Abraham. He chooses the well-watered region of Sodom. And then it seems like it's better. It seems like it's financially secure. And then he moves from outskirts to inside. He gets captured. And then we find him seated at the gate, meaning he's recognized leader. So the drift becomes residence. It becomes an influence in his life and in his family's life. That's an important part of this. God hears the outcry in Sodom, recognizes that there's victims in there. And Abraham prays and he asks questions, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? And you have this, it looks like he's bartering, but he's really not. He goes 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. And if there's 10 people left there that are righteous, will you spare them? And God says yes. And so it's really looking at the expanse or how big is God's mercy. These angels arrive. Lot shows some hospitality to them. There's this aggression.
Minimal hospitality.
Well,
don't
yeah.
Kill my guests, creepers outside.
There's people outside and violence at the door. And the outcry is what you see in there is not exaggerated. The evil is not like some theoretical oopsie. It's a really big deal what's going on there. And then the angels warn Lot, hey, this place is going to be destroyed. Judgment is going to come. He hesitates, he lingers, and they have to kind of pull him out. The moment judgment falls, it falls right on him, fire, destruction, and Lot's wife looks back. But when it says that she looks back, it's this wanting and this desire of this world. And again, this came after warnings. This came after God trying to bring resolution to this. And then finally, there is this judgment. Fire falls down from heaven, which you can look this up. And it's historically true. They have found the places. And no one has ever dwelt there again, which is crazy. And so archaeological digs have really proven this. It's right off of the Dead Sea, and you can look that up. But now we're in the aftermath of this. The smoke is rising. And in Genesis 19, verse 27 through 28, the smoke is this real judgment. And we read, Abraham rises early. He goes to the place where he stood before God. This is where he's interceding. This is where he's praying for his nephew, Lot, and toward Sodom. And now he looks down over it and he sees smoke rising, it says, like a furnace.
Yeah, that image is pretty sobering, and I guess it's meant to sober us.
Yeah, the smoke is almost like a sermon without words.
Yeah, how so?
Well, sin is real. God sees. God hears the outcry, and that's a really important part. There was victims in this, and so make no mistake, God wasn't just randomly doing this. And judgment is real. And, like, it's a warning to us.
Yeah, I suppose that that's the tension, right? That a lot of people want a God of love, but nobody really wants a God of judgment. Or at least they don't think that they want the God of judgment.
Yeah, because if he never judges evil, then God never protects the weak. And he never sets the world right again. Because we recognize the world's broken.
Well, yeah. So in that regard, love and justice aren't enemies. Justice is what love looks like when something precious is being harmed.
Exactly. If someone abuses a child, love doesn't say, oh, let's not be judgmental. Love says that must stop. And not just that must stop, there is consequences to that.
Well, yeah, and that's why the text just keeps emphasizing the outcry, because it wasn't victimless.
Yeah, judgment shows that God is not numb. God's not indifferent. God sees, and God really responds.
Yeah, but I suppose it also confronts our tendency to bargain with sin, right? Like, I can keep it, and it's not going to cost me anything.
Yeah, the smoke says sin is not weightless. It's bigger than that. It's heavy, actually.
Yeah, then there's another layer in that Abraham sees the smoke because he'd been standing before the Lord.
Yeah, which is sobering too. Intercession doesn't mean you control God. It means you plead for mercy and you trust God's justice.
Yeah.
If you read this and you kind of see it just as a story, and it's probably something you saw on Flannel Graph when you were a kid.
Yeah, maybe. I was actually trying to think of that this week. Like, what those pictures looked like. Did we color the fire of Sodom? I can't remember that. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah. No joke. Yeah.
A little red-yellow situation going on. Okay. Yeah.
So the thought that I was having is, when you hear God judges, what is kind of your emotional reaction that rises first? Like fear, anger, relief, disbelief, or like just excusing it away, and why?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the context, right? Like, if I have been harmed and I hear God judges, I'm like, yeah, rain it down.
Right.
Right. But I...
Oh, great smiter, smite
right,
them.
Exactly, right? I'm praying David's prayers all the way.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if when it concerns my own sin, I'm far less willing to cry out for the justice of God.
So what would you say to somebody who says, well, we're not allowed to judge people?
Yeah. I think that that's not a biblical position to take. And maybe you could elaborate on why.
Well, doesn't the Bible say that, though?
No, that is not what the Bible says.
What does the Bible say?
We've had this conversation a lot. And actually, Frank Turek just spoke on this as well. Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you share?
Well, I think really the Bible is pretty clear about this. Judge not, lest ye be judged.
Yeah, that's what
it says. And so it's the same standard. It's actually calling out hypocrites. And it's calling out, like, you can't judge somebody for the very same thing that you're doing. But it's not saying that you don't judge. Even the very passage, and I think Frank said this, even the very passage is a judgment, right?
Yeah.
And telling you. Yeah. So that's not what the Bible says at all. But I think the emotional reaction is, it's hard to imagine, because you kind of think, well, God is just this like cuddly bear up in the sky who just loves everyone. And he does love everyone. But part of love is that justice.
Well, yeah. And what we see with Sodom is the justice of God, the swift justice of God. And not too many people in Sodom were probably asking for it.
Yeah, and then the text switches. And so it says Abraham's looking out. He sees the smoke rising from a furnace. God has destroyed the cities. There was 5 cities. He only destroyed 4 of them. And there was one left where Lot went. And it says that when God destroyed the cities, God remembered Abraham. Remembered Abraham. It's a weird phrase.
Well, yeah, because I think we often hear the story and we think, oh, how cool that God remembered Lot.
Yeah. Because it, the promise wasn't to lie.
Yeah.
You know, Abraham was God's guy. He was the one that God had chosen to carry out, to give him the Abrahamic covenant that he's going to bless him, and then his descendants are going to be many, and he is faithful to that. Abraham prays for Lot, prays for Sodom, and God remembers Abraham, and he actually, Lot is able to get out of Sodom because of Abraham.
Well, that's so interesting because I think we often get this messed up, right? We think that rescue comes because we finally figured it out, right? We cleaned ourselves up. We got a nice haircut. Like we did what we should do. And Lot is a mess.
Well, yeah, because he doesn't look really all that spiritually strong. At the last, he's hesitant to leave when there's angels in his house. There's sin at his door and they tell him the whole place is going to be crushed. He's compromised and he needs to be pulled out. And so it's not like he just like got his boots on and started walking in faith that God is going to take care of this.
Yeah. This points us to a gospel pattern of hope, right? Our hope isn't how tightly we can grip to God, but how tight God's grip is on us.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose that covenant means that God ties his name to his promise because he remembers Abraham. Abraham's the dude he made the promise to.
Right. God is saying, I will be faithful because I said I would.
Yeah, and that points forward to Jesus who...
Yeah, Jesus is the true covenant representative, and he's the one that the promise of God came, that we can have eternal life in him as we believe in him. And that is a gift to us. There's grace given to us through the cross of Jesus, his blood shed for our sins. So he, in one sense, becomes our Sodom when he dies on the cross. He was absolutely sinless. And then he goes to the cross for you and me. The destruction that was meant for you and me is taken on himself. And it's just a beautiful picture. And then we can have eternal life. We can be saved because God is faithful and God came for us through the person of Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, and that's why the cross matters so much, right? At the cross, God doesn't stop being just so that he can be loving. He shows his justice and love at the same time.
Yeah, Jesus on the cross, absolutely innocent, absolutely perfect, the Son of God. He does not even spare him. He does that for us.
Well, yeah. So if like Lot, you're thinking to yourself, like, you think Lot was like, oh, I gotta, Lot's an interesting dude.
He is.
He is a weird dude. But I was just thinking, like, if you find yourself thinking I've blown it, right? The answer isn't you need to try harder, right?
No, the answer is run to Christ.
Yeah.
Trust the one who stood in your place. And I think that's what, one of the things that I think is interesting about that is that I think I probably relate more to Lot, even though I don't like admitting that, than I do to Abraham.
It's a rare moment of self-awareness.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just like, oh, I'm fine. I'll get it. I'll walk out tomorrow. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you were fully confident in God that he's faithful, instead of you trying to go, I'm doing better, what would actually change in your week?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah. That's what I've been thinking about.
Yeah. I mean, just, I think, you know, personally, my family has seen the faithfulness of God in this way. Like, there's absolutely nothing we can do right now. Like, we have nothing, right? I mean, so the fire of Sodom is real in our lives, you know, for those of you listening, our house burned down and it's been a thing. But we have gotten to see God be so faithful to us through his people. He's shown up and things we could not do for ourselves. And it's been a constant reminder over the last week and a half that, like, if I remind myself of the faithfulness of God, that he does provide, that he does show up, that he is all the things that he says that he is, there is a peace that you can have in the middle of really horrible circumstances. And there is a calmness of spirit in recognizing that I really can't do it on my own. And I think that salvation looks like that. And it's the most beautiful grace of God.
So Lot is rescued. Really fantastic.
Yep. Go team.
God is faithful.
Here we go to the weird.
And you would think that the Bible would just, like, it'd be Little House on the Prairie at this point. Like, the family's rescued. He's out there with his kids. And, you know, you have, you know, the Little House on the Prairie theme song. Do you know that?
No, but you do.
Do, 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 do.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
You think that would be played.
Save that as a ringtone.
I should have that as my ringtone. I love Little House on the Prairie. You would feel like it, that's where the story's going to go. But the Bible doesn't do that. There's still some residual effect from living in Sodom and in his family. And so what happens is they go to Zoar. And Lot becomes afraid to live there. Remember, he's living in Sodom. And Zoar is the one city that was spared. And now he's there with those people and he's afraid. And so he goes and lives with his two girls in a cave.
It's really disturbing. He's not settled. He's safe. He's out of the, you know, the fire, the line of fire, but he's so afraid. So afraid.
He's saved, but there's still these residual effects and he still has this fear. And his daughters have this really disturbing family moment.
Right. And we should say here that the Bible's not endorsing what happened here.
Yeah, there's two ideas here. Right. There's, right, like, there's prescription in the Bible. This is what you should do. Hmm. And then there's description. This is 100% description. Description. So his daughters
three
with
steps to the cave.
His daughters have this warped logic. They're in desperation. There's still the residual understanding of cultural understanding that's in them. And what happens is they realize that there's no one to bring keep their family line going, which is very cultural, like to keep the family line going. And so they get their father drunk and have relations with him in the biblical sense, and both get pregnant and have two sons, Moab and Benami. And these actually become nations, and the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they're always at war with Israel.
Oh, yeah, this is generational fallout with lots of consequences.
Yeah, and so I think what's interesting, you guys can read it. We're not going to read all the details of that, and it gives you a little bit more detail in the text, Genesis 19:30-38. But what's interesting about this is that Lot is out of Sodom, but Sodom is not out of Lot's house yet.
Well, yeah, because sin leaves a residue, right? Trauma has residual effect. Compromise leaves residue.
So what do we learn? Rescue, I think, can be real while consequences remain.
Yeah, so forgiveness isn't fake because consequences exist.
Right. And consequences don't mean forgiveness didn't happen. So when we come to Jesus for the first time, we say, yes, you are my Savior. And we confess our sins. He's faithful to forgive them. But it doesn't mean that every consequence is gone.
Right.
And Jesus, though, this is the beauty of Jesus. He's not only our forgiver, he's not only our penalty payer, but he also begins to walk through the trauma, the damage of the broken world, the damage of our choices, the damage of the culture in which we live, the damage of our thinking, and he begins to heal us as he walks beside us.
Well, yeah, he makes people whole, and sometimes it's instant, but often it's slowly.
Yeah, it's the process. What's the big theological word?
Sanctification.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a refining fire. He has to, there's these, well, there we go with that fire thing again.
Why?
Sorry.
Why? It's a hot topic.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You gotta
it's
laugh.
Good that we're already there.
I
that
know,
we're joking
you know, you
about
gotta
this.
Laugh. There's not a lot of options.
You know, I wonder, like, I was thinking about this in culture, because our culture promises freedom, but it often refuses to talk about consequences. Where do you see that showing up?
Huh, that's an interesting question. Or we don't want to talk about consequences?
Yeah, well, I think you and I have chatted about this before. Like, we've tried to take out all shame out of our culture.
Yeah.
And some shame is not good.
Yeah.
Like, that you can never be forgiven, that you can never be made whole again, you can never do, like, you are no good. But some shame is good.
Right.
Like, when a culture loses its ability to blush, it will lose its ability to have a sense of morality. And I think there needs to be, like, some things are just not right, and we all know it.
Yeah. We've been pretending for a long time that promiscuity is a sign of freedom and liberation.
Yeah, but there's consequences.
Right. Like, we don't talk about those consequences.
And often they're visible consequences after 9 months.
Well, yeah, true.
Yes. And kids are a blessing. That's, but.
That, nice save. Yeah. That was nice.
From the Lord. Right. Yeah. But there's also all kinds of other consequences that we just don't talk about. And our culture says it brings freedom. And yet there's things that will war against your soul if you choose to run down that road. Yeah. So here's where we land. The smoke is real. Judgment is real.
Yeah, mercy is real. And God remembers his covenant. He's always
faithful. Consequences are real.
Yeah.
But Jesus makes people whole. If you're drifting, stop calling it. Not a big deal. Drift is how Lot ended up there. And that story is wild and dark. And so if you're drifting, come back to Jesus. Run back to Jesus. He's the one who saves. He's the one who makes you whole. This is good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.